And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. Hope everybody's staying safe out there. Some slick roads potentially on your way into work, so make sure you keep an eye. Go slow and be careful out there. Joe, how are we doing today? What's going on?
Yeah, be careful. It was okay for me coming in, but getting a little mixed in some areas, so don't go slower than normal. Don't use your brakes if you can help it.
I was about to say, you have more experience in this than we Southerners do. Is that your general piece of advice? Because I've always approached it this way. Don't go too fast. Don't stop too fast. That's the way I do things.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, you don't want to rely on hitting those brakes hard, you know? So just be safe. Go slow. Kids are off. Kids are off school.
Yeah, they are.
A lot of kids in a lot of counties around here, so
snoozing in a little bit today. Ryan Porth looked great again today. Another half.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Rob.
He's gotten into habit, Joe, of wearing he's a different hat every day. So he's taken this compliment that you've given him about his clean, pristine looking hats, and now he's showing all of them off.
Well, that's
normal.
I know. That's like a old school
Tennessee Titans hat.
Yeah,
I bought like a year ago.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. What do you call that, though, that style?
Like a – it's not quite a trucker hat, is it?
No, but I mean like the lettering, you know, like there's a word that you call that hat, but I don't remember what it is.
I'm sure there is.
All right, I'll figure it out. I'll Google it.
There you go. Maybe it's on scarymommy.com.
It could be. There's a lot of stuff on there.
How about that dunk last night by Keon Johnson? I mean, he stole the soul of the entire state of Georgia on that dunk. Nice win for the Vols. Got a little sloppy there in the second half later on. Georgia puts up 55 in the second half. But Keon Johnson, man, that's one of the best dunks I've seen all season long, whether it's college or the NBA.
Yeah, it got going. You know, Tennessee beat writers trying to figure out, like, if that's the best dunk they've ever seen and stuff. Mike Wilson put, like, an Admiral Schofield dunk over Mississippi State above that. There was a Jordan Bowden inbounds dunk that was great. I'll put this one ahead of those. I think this has a case as the best dunk in Tennessee history. Actually, Ron Slay tweeted out a great dunk he had too, like against Georgia. And there's a lot of great choices. That was ridiculous. Like how he, I mean, it was just such a. In fact, where did it end up on SportsCenter?
I didn't see
this out.
No, I didn't see it, but it's got to be close to the top.
Gotta
top
be,
10.
Right? Yeah, that was he's ridiculous. Jaden Springer has 30. But you know, you're up 23 and it's too bad that it gets down to like 7, you know.
Yeah.
You got to
89 81.
Got to stop with the turnovers. I'm also, you know, Eve Pons doesn't play. Rick Barnes is like, I think he'll be back. You know, I mean he wanted to play last night, but the fact that it's like swelling in his knee, it's not great, you know. And you almost wonder, like, gosh, maybe just shut it down for a month because you got to have him. I mean, they're going to make the tournament. They're not going to win the SEC.
Right.
You know? Could make a case to maybe just be real careful there because they don't have – they've got to have him.
They do.
On the floor.
The good news is for them, and we've talked about, you know, how inconsistent they've been offensively. It feels like Jaden Springer last couple of games is coming on pretty strong, and I think right now their best offensive option by far.
Yeah, he's a really nice player, you know, and he's not – like if I'm an NBA evaluator, I look at Springer and Keon Johnson, I say that guy, Keon Johnson, has a higher ceiling for sure. He just has more length. He's going to go in the NBA and be an elite athlete in that league, which is saying something. Jaden Springer is not that, but he's a very polished player, can do everything, can get to the rim, was shooting the three well last night. He hasn't done that all year, you know, shot the three well, but, you know, he's a very good player. Those two together, they got to carry a lot of the offense. I mean, Fulkerson last night, they don't have Pons, and Fulkerson has to play a lot, and, you know, what, he take two shots?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just – he's kind of disappeared as an offensive option for this team, so – those freshmen have got to – but, you know, you have Vescovi and James had good offensive nights. I think they had 37 points between them, so that's big.
It was big, and we'll continue to react to this in the show a little bit later. Lots of Vols news to get to today, including an interesting report yesterday about Henry To'o To'o that we'll get to a little bit later in the show as well. All that coming up. The Predators taking on the Red Wings tonight. Preds head coach John Hines will join us at 7:30, so looking forward to that visit with him. And Joe, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the Predators and obviously losing five of the past six, just getting drilled by Tampa Bay in the last couple of games specifically. And now the lowly Detroit Red Wings, or as you referred to them yesterday, the Dead Things, coming in here to Bridgestone Arena tonight. They'll take on the Predators on Saturday as well. And the Red Wings right now 3-9-2 on the season, a goal differential of minus 19. I'm just going to throw it out to you. Like, if the Predators don't win both of these games, I'm going to be very disappointed. Like, to me, this is an example of two games that you absolutely have to win if you're the Predators. And I realize we're 13 games into a season, and I'm talking about must-win games. I absolutely feel that way based on this team and based on what I've seen so far. You've got to beat Detroit twice if you want to hang around in this thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a quarter mark of the season, and we've laid it out. You got to finish fourth. You're playing all the teams in your division. It's just, I think it increases the urgency. Obviously, the 56 games versus 82 does anyway, but you've got to beat that team. As Porth has pointed out, you know, the Blackhawks are playing well. You look around the division, who do you feel great about? I mean, you scratched out two wins against Chicago. Good thing you did. But who do you feel great about playing? You know, I mean, I think right now there's one team.
Detroit.
So, got to get 4 points. It's not like you're done if you don't, but the math gets worse and worse for you. And then we continue to, you know, analyze which player we're trading away and how we're going to blow this whole thing up.
How realistic is that, though, if I'm being perfectly honest?
Well, it should be. How could it not be? How could it not be realistic?
You could be down your number one center, and we don't know Matthias Ekholm's status.
That's true.
Have you watched the Red Wings play? I actually haven't, but I know they suck.
Well, they've also beaten Florida. They've beaten Carolina. They've beaten Columbus. I mean, they have been in a lot of games. I mean, there have been a couple games where they've gotten blown out by Tampa Bay and Dallas on the road. But it's not like Detroit has been like Ottawa this year, where every game they're giving up 5, 6, 7 goals. I mean, these are probably going to be like 2-1, 3-2 tight games, I would imagine, unless, you know, the top line with Forsberg, Duchesne, and Arvidsson just catches fire.
I hear everything you're saying, but if you can't think that getting 4 points out of this series is realistic.
I'm not saying it's not realistic, but
asked how realistic it is.
Well,
I'd say very.
I half expect Detroit coming in here to win one of these games.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, for sure. And if that happens, especially, look, I think honestly where the psyche of this team is right now. I mean, we heard it from Duchesne yesterday. We've heard it from a couple guys in the postgame press conference this week. They're in a dangerous spot right now, I think, from a mental standpoint. And that was something they battled all season long a year ago. This is the time where you've got to find a way to pull yourself out of it. Now, the opponent is there for you to do it. And, Joe, we talk about the Red Wings. They've had an incredible amount of success against the Predators over the course of the last 5 years, which has been really fascinating to watch, as bad as they've been. Now, the Predators had also had a lot of success against Tampa Bay.
There you go.
And that is totally reversed so far this year.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So, you know what? Just wipe it out. When you have to face them all the time, reality is going to set in. So, reality has set in for the Predators against Tampa Bay, and now reality needs to set in for Detroit.
Yeah, and we'll see if they're able to do that tonight. And that is going to be something to monitor. Maybe we'll get some info from John Hines a little bit later on the show today, but also at Morning Skate. What is the status of Matthias Ekholm? He misses the game on Monday, the birth of his baby daughter. Comes back in, leaves in the second period, basically misses half of the game on Tuesday. That's a guy right now they can't afford to lose. I mean, you start having Jared Tenorti and Mark Borowiecki playing in your top four, that's not a good recipe for success.
Yeah. No doubt. That's a big thing to watch, because we know there's nothing to watch with Johansson, the old week-to-week thing.
Yeah.
So you've already sort of, you know, adjusted to that, and that's a challenge. But, yeah, you need Ekholm.
What have y'all thought about Dante Favreau so far? Because he's 22 years old. I think he's got a lot of ability. I think he's had some good moments this year. He's also had some moments that have just been it's not small mistakes. It's massive. Like, dude, what are you doing out there moments? And that's happened many times so far this year. What have y'all thought about Fabbro so far? Are you concerned about Dante Fabbro?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where over, you know, certain stretches of time, you can see he's a good player. And I think overall you feel pretty good about him. But you're right. I mean, those mistakes have been have been glaring and they've been costly, and there's some head scratches in there. So I think that it turns into – I mean, I've heard, you know, it's like people saying, well, you got to get him out of the top four. And, you know, it's like, no, but watch him play shift after shift. I mean, he's a good player.
I had two people tweet me they need to trade him the other day.
Yeah.
It's like he's 22. Let's give him a second.
Right. But, you know, I don't know. When you make mistakes like that, what does that mean? I mean – Is he playing outside himself? Is he trying to do too much? I don't know what the answer is. Basically, it's like, just stop making those mistakes, right? I don't know. You tell me. Is it a trend? Is it something that's he can't overcome?
I feel like there's an example from a couple years ago that we need to remember that maybe the Predators gave up too early on Kevin Fiala. And Fiala has gone to Minnesota and has looked like the Kevin Fiala, like, we all thought he could be here in Nashville. And I know a lot of people are ready to, you know, wave the white flag on someone like Tolvanen if he doesn't have a good year. Like, there's got to be some patience with some of these young guys because they develop at different paces.
Yeah.
I will say the fact that Fabbro is still having some of these rookie-type mistakes is concerning, but that's not to say that in the next couple of years he can't take that next step in his career.
I think it makes it harder with Fabbro because people can also look around and see, like, Seth Jones and see Samuel Girard
sure.
out there and, you know, say, wow, be great to have those guys.
He's probably also been put in a place where he's playing a little over his head, maybe. Like, last year, I didn't think he was ready to be a second-pair defenseman.
Agree.
And I thought maybe they were overreacting a little bit to his brief stint after coming up from college. And
which was good.
He was very impressive down the stretch and in the playoffs against Dallas. I mean, he was one of their best players against Dallas out of not many players. But, like,
he and Rocco.
Sure. But I do think we need to be and a Pekka. little bit more patient.
Yeah, look, he's 22. I think he's going to be fine. I like a lot of his ability. He skates well. He's not going to be this dynamic offensive defenseman. Like, that's just not his game. I'm not saying he's going to be this guy, but, like, stylistically, he reminds me a little bit more of Ryan Suter. Like, you're not going to ever see Ryan Suter, you know, carrying the puck zone to zone. I don't think you're going to see that happen from Fabbro a lot either, but he's solid, has the potential to be solid defensively. I think that's more of what you're looking at, kind of the throwback NHL defenseman a little bit. But he does have some offensive ability. We saw that shot the other night. He's had some bad luck on that area this year. I think he's hit three posts at this point already this year, so I think there's a lot to like about Fabbro, but he got to cut down on some of these big-time mistakes. That's going to be the next challenge for him as he moves ahead here in his career. Yesterday on the show, Adam Venkin from The Athletic joined us and threw out a possible rebuild plan for the Nashville Predators that he wants to see happen if this continues this season. We'll react to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Preds, Predators head coach John Hines joining us today at 7:30, Chris Mason at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to those conversations. Lots to get to with the Nashville Predators today. And we had Adam Venkin on from The Athletic yesterday. And look, this conversation is getting louder and louder with each loss the Predators have had as of late. And I said it yesterday, Joe, the term rebuild really did not enter my mind heading into this season based on Josi, Ellis, Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, all these different players still theoretically being in the primes of their careers. That was just a term that I didn't want to entertain. Retooling was more what I thought. But I will say, the more I've watched this team play this year, the more open I am to the idea of maybe a rebuild at some point is inevitable. And Adam Venkin from The Athletic joined us yesterday and offered his thoughts on that. Here's what Adam Venkin had to say.
Here's my plan, my immediate plan, and you can tell me if I'm ridiculous. here's what I do in the next several months from a personnel standpoint. I trade every veteran player on an expiring contract. I trade Mikhail Granlund. I trade Eric Halla. I trade Brad Richardson. Those are the types of players that teams in contention love to get at the deadline because they're rentals and they can be effective in certain roles, so I trade all of them. Then, this might be the hardest thing, I trade Matthias Ekholm. Matthias Ekholm is their most valuable asset. He has 1 year remaining on his contract after this one. They're going to have some tough decisions to make in expansion anyway, and I think trading him would actually make it easier for them to figure out their expansion list. I mean, there are teams, like, I think of, like, a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, for example, a team that has been thirsting for quality defense for, you know, to go with their superstar forward. I mean, I think a team like the Maple Leafs, this is completely hypothetical, of course, would pay a king's ransom for a player like Matthias Ekholm. So I trade Ekholm. Then in the summertime, when the expansion draft comes, I take that draft capital that I got for trading Granlund, Halla, Richardson, and Ekholm. I take a good portion of it. And I go to Seattle general manager Ron Francis and I say, here are three draft picks. Please take Ryan Johansson or Matthew Shane. And then from there, you know, you ride with whichever $8 million center you don't trade and you start really leaning into the future of this organization, which means players like Philip Tomasino, for example. That is what I would do.
So that was Adam Vingan here yesterday on the show. And Joe, when you hear that, what's your reaction? Adam throwing out there that players on expiring contracts like Eric Halla, Mikhail Granlund, Brad Richardson, you move them off if this continues, and then maybe Matthias Ekholm as well. And we talked about yesterday maybe at some point having to take a look at the core as well. Adam throwing Matthias Ekholm out there. What do you think of what Adam had to say there?
Yeah, I think everything he said makes sense. When I think about that, I think about the whole thing, and to me it's like, can you come away with a lot of draft capital? Can you come away with a chance to build yourself up, you know, for the long term, which obviously the Preds have been buyers for a long time now. So I think about this idea of, yeah, I get traded with people on expiring contracts. You're getting stuff back in that way. But I don't know if I love the idea of, like, now take all these picks so you can also take away when I get it. Like, you're trying to get rid of one of those contracts possibly, but that was my only question about it. And, of course, I think there's a lot of other plans people would have that would have more core players involved in movement.
Yeah.
But he makes sense there, Ekholm, because of his deal. And there are certainly teams out there who could use an Ekholm. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There's a lot of places where Ekholm would be a much more prominent player, I think, just because he's been here with this loaded D-Corps for so long. So I think that's all reasonable. You want to come away with draft capital, right? I mean, you want to come away with, and some prospects also, not just picks, but prospects that can actually become good players for you down the road.
I just wonder if, just from the Predators' viewpoint, looking at this team this season, what you need to see moving forward to convince you that a change of some degree is not needed to be made. Like, with a core piece. Like, if you're the Predators, what do you need to see from this group this year to say, all right, we're going to take another crack at it with this core? Right now, that's not a very popular thought amongst Predators fans. And I just wonder what it would take, because it feels like it's inevitable that at least one core piece, maybe a couple, are just going to have to be shuffled here based on the way things have gone.
I mean, well, first of all, there's two different time frames there. One is, yeah, what do they need to show this season for the off season? I mean, I guess, like, if they limp into the play, they barely get into the playoffs.
But is that enough? That's like if you
I don't know.
If you get in, and then you're out in the first round, like, is that enough? I wouldn't think so.
I would think it shouldn't be, because, you know, again, the whole idea here was that you can contend. If you can't contend, then what are you doing? But another thing there is, if you play better here moving forward and get yourself to where you could get into the playoffs, then are you really going to be looking to then all of a sudden sell everybody off
right
at the deadline? What is the deadline?
I think it's early April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's April. You know, so, I mean, that's where it's almost – you're almost in a pickle if you start playing better, you know. If it's clear that you're not going to make the playoffs here, then I think it's easy. You're going to do something like that. But if you're on that borderline,
Well, I think that's when it becomes the first part of what Adam threw out there in terms of the players on expiring contract. I think that's when that decision becomes pretty tough, because if you're right on the edge of making the playoffs, like if they rebound here and they're hanging around all season long around that four spot, do you hang on to guys like Granlund and Richardson and Halla when you could get some decent return for them at the trade deadline, especially a guy like Granlund? Like, he could probably fetch you, you know, depending on what the trade market is, second round pick, maybe first round pick, depending on what the demand is like at the trade deadline. Like, weighing those options, I think, is very interesting. I think the core part of this conversation most likely happens in the offseason anyway, just based on, you know, the different things that have to go down, and just you get a better picture of what the future of your organization is going to look like at that point. But I think what the scenario you brought up, it gets more interesting with those one-year players at that point, because if you still feel like you have a chance to make the playoffs, you don't want to just give that up. You want to hold on to those guys, but you also don't want to lose those guys for nothing if you end up going, you know, one and done.
Right, and this can't really play into it, but you have a roster full of guys. Let's start with Pecorine, who, if you're right around there and everybody says, hey, and it's been true in this league, get in the playoffs, who knows what'll happen. So if you're close and you decide to do that, so you're telling Pecorine, hey, thanks, but yeah, sorry, we're packing it up, buddy. And some of these other guys too, you know, veterans who badly want to compete and still think this team, you know, can be something. So that's not, again, that's not why, like, you better not make decisions based on that. But still, I mean, you can't help but think of that, especially Pecorine.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't come back here to, you know, to oversee a rebuild.
No, he did not. And right now, that could be something that they're staring in the face of right now, which is, again, I didn't feel that way heading into the season. I thought that I picked them to finish fourth this season in the division. So I thought it'd be close. I thought they'd be right around the bubble. Still, maybe they might be. They're 5-8. You got the Red Wings coming up. You get two wins here. You're back to 7-8. Maybe you feel a little bit better. But just offensively, and we'll talk about this a little bit later and revisit the comments we had yesterday from Matt Duchene joining us here on the show. Offensively, it's hard to get excited because you look at this roster right now with Johansson out, and I don't know where the offense is going to come from on a consistent basis based on what we've seen for this team over the better part of the year, and that is their offensive guys are just erratic. Like, we've talked a lot about Duchene and Johansson. Victor Arvidsson's got 2 goals in 13 games. Like, that's not good enough. You're hoping a guy produces more than that based on what we've seen from Victor Arvidsson. I think Arvidsson's largely played decently. I think he's played okay. But 2 goals in 13 games from him is not good enough. Like, you're not going to win that way.
No. Yeah, I mean, look, it was always going to be – this year was always going to be about, of course, some of these new guys, you hope it works out well and you get some contributions, but it was going to be those core guys had to all have good, and you know, good or even better than average, you know, years for this team to have enough offense. Now you take one of those guys out who hasn't been playing well, and now it looks like Forsberg's cooling off. And I mean, you know, we're going to revisit some of Deshane's comments from yesterday, but there was some strong words in there,
you know,
about how tough this is offensively for them.
Coming up next, we'll introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. It surrounds Tom Brady looking like he was getting off a Pell Tavern yesterday at a bachelorette party after the Super Bowl celebration for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Did you see your self-proclaimed greatest quarterback of all time yesterday, Tom Brady?
Yes, my GOAT.
Yes,
that's
your
my GOAT.
Your new GOAT yesterday.
Looks like
at Super Bowl celebration.
It's like a GOAT who someone poured a little bowl of Miller High Life in the GOAT's bowl, huh?
Good for him. Tom Brady yesterday living his best life on the boat parade for the Super Bowl parade there in Tampa Bay, and video surfaced of him getting off said boat and having to be, I guess, escorted's the best word. Couldn't really walk straight.
Who was that?
I have no clue who that guy was.
At first, I thought it was like Gronk, but I was like, no, that guy's not big enough to be Gronk.
No, I don't know who that was. I guess a security guard of some sort. I don't know.
See, listen, Tom, if you're going to have three wine coolers, maybe have a sandwich first.
Do you think he poured like some alcohol in his kale yesterday and that's what got him all wobbly?
Well, he probably had his lunch of like three beans and a, you know, and a mandarin orange and then had, you know, three drinks. And it's like, hey, have a club sandwich and you might be able to like tolerate a couple beers yeah, there, buddy.
What do you think? Like, Tom,
he's not the GOAT anymore. He's off.
He's
you're out of here.
Is he out of the top five because he can't handle his alcohol? Oh, man, it was hilarious. And
Aaron Rodgers could put down 14 Wisconsin beers, eat 27 cheese curds, and be just fine.
Brady tweeted yesterday. I mentioned the video of him just kind of stumbling around, getting back to dry land. What Brady's trying to say in this tweet is nothing to see here, just a little avocado tequila. It's not really what it reads here. Do we think he was joking on this tweet? Or do you think he was actually that loaded up that couldn't type straight?
Like you said before the show, I'd love to think that's real. Because for people who haven't seen it, like what did he misspell?
He misspelled nothing here.
Yeah, noting
little
to see here. Yeah,
avocado.
Noting to see her.
Noting
to see her. Just a little one capital T, one little T. Avocado, a capital C in the middle of the word, and then tequila.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it, man. I think, you know, I mean, it's funny, but I think it's an intentionally misspelled tweet to make it, ooh, it's a drunk tweet. Look, everybody, I'm drunk, and look at my drunk tweet. I'm the GOAT.
The only word he spelled correctly in that tweet was tequila.
Yeah.
That's interesting. If you can spell that kind of tough word correctly, you can't put the H in nothing.
I'm not surprised.
I hope it's real. I hope it's real.
I don't think I'm surprised that Brady's a lightweight. I mean, I wonder what his I just completed the season, I'm going to break this diet looks like. Like, how long does Brady go on something like this? Like, an hour? And then he's back to eating kale? And
well, he got asked, so I don't remember what it was.
Picking leaves off a rose bush or something?
There were some kids. He had something in one of the Super Bowl pregame things that kids were asking him questions. I don't know if you saw this, but you know, it wasn't anything great. But he was one of them asked him, like, when's the last time you had pizza? And he said, actually, just a few weeks ago, I had a couple slices. So
really,
yeah,
maybe he's loosening up a little bit
about that. No, but I'm not surprised he's lightweight either. If you have the diet he's had, and again, you're trying to get like 12 hours of sleep a night or whatever. And I assume he's not drinking himself to sleep, you know, then.
Probably good assumption.
You know, then, yeah, I would imagine that he'd be quite the lightweight. But again, this is why you eat regular food before you go on the boat. I mean, even if you're not going to drink, if you're going to go on a boat in the sun in Florida, like, have a sandwich.
Yeah. It's also, like, it's pretty clear that he and Rob Gronkowski are great friends, like, best friends. And the fact that he's been around Gronkowski as long as he has and hasn't died at this point is a minor miracle.
Well, I think it's probably kind of like, you know, Mariota here. Remember, like you know, the hilarious scenes of the whole offensive line pounding those beers at the press game.
And yeah.
They got their little designated driver, Mariota.
Over there waving the towel.
Go, Preds, baby. Yeah. Waving that towel.
Mariota, and that's, I mean, Taylor Lewan has talked about that. Like, Mariota, yeah, we're pounding all these beers, and Mariota will drive us around. It's great. So that's probably what Brady does for Gronk, right? He says, Gronk, if you'll let me be in your cool little Instagram videos, I'll drive you to 8 different bars tonight.
Did you see Gronk yesterday? He was up there dancing and twerking on a boat. It was amazing.
I mean, he's the one who caught the Lombardi, right?
Yes.
And that was the real Lombardi.
That was the real Lombardi. Like, Brady's chucking the Lombardi trophy from boat to boat.
Yeah.
What would have happened if that thing ends up in the bay?
Make another one.
I know, but
dude's got enough of them. But it would have been funny. It would have been funnier.
It would have been hilarious. Let's introduce our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Of these four quarterbacks, who would you like to party with the most after a Super Bowl victory? Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, or Joe Namath? We are very early in the voting process. 109 votes are in, 44% going with Broadway Joe Namath, 29% with Peyton Manning, 15% say Brady, 12% Patrick Mahomes.
So I just thought of something. So are we talking here, like a lot of things when we talk different eras with players, are we also talking like prime Joe Namath, like in New York in the late 60s?
I think
early 70s Joe Namath?
I think any era Joe Namath probably would be pretty fun to hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
at least interesting. I don't know if fun's the right word. Interesting.
You know, another guy who comes to mind is never mind. He's passed away, so I won't even bring up his name.
Okay.
But he was a quarterback from the 70s who, I hate when that happens. And sometimes it's the other way around. You're like, oh, that person's still alive?
Yeah.
I did not know that Ken Stabler had passed away. I'm sorry.
Well,
did you know that?
No,
if I said Kenny Stabler?
No. I know who he is, but I didn't know he passed away.
Kenny the Snake Stabler. Also legendary for that. Alabama. Raiders.
Peyton Manning's got some sneaky potential here. Like, I think hanging out with Peyton, having a beer with Peyton, be pretty funny. Like, McAfee's told some stories about, you know, being at the casino and the red 18 and rolling the dice and it hits red 18 and the whole casino goes nuts and he just walks off. I think it'd be fun to hang out with Peyton Manning after a Super Bowl win.
I think he'd probably be my choice.
Think so?
I think so.
Is he back to being the GOAT after Brady walking around yesterday?
I mean, I bet you Peyton Manning could walk to the car after a couple beers. You know,
how many drinks do we think Brady had yesterday? Was it one? Like,
how many Bartles and James wine coolers?
Also,
what is avocado?
What is avocado tequila? Have you ever heard of this?
I have not.
That's the most Tom Brady drink ever. Is it real?
I'm like 95% sure. Yeah, I'm not a tequila guy at all.
No, either am I.
Tequila is my kryptonite.
Okay, it's a real thing.
Yeah. Is it like fancy?
I mean, it's Brady's. Because it's
probably
avocado tequila.
Right.
You ever had it?
It's probably not like they got like the $15 bottle at the party store.
Yeah.
No, this is probably top shelf tequila.
Yeah. Whereas Gronk, I mean, probably picked up, you know, PBR on the way or something.
Is that what? Yeah. I mean, that Gronk is. Gronk's legendary for – doesn't Gronk have like these – or, you know, pre-pandemic, obviously. He's got like these ridiculous cruise party things, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what you were saying the other day. I mean, Gronk's 31. Like, he's the same age as Travis Kelce. Gronk looks a little bit older than 31. Like, he's in good shape, obviously. But how'd you put it the other day? Gronk's lived a hard life?
Yeah, he's
we're back in hard life season for Rob Gronkowski
right now. That's right. Yeah, now we – because he just said he's coming back next year. But yeah, let's see after a few months of your offseason, Gronk, if you're coming back next year.
Who do we think has the better championship celebrations, Gronkowski or Ovechkin? Like, remember when Ovechkin finally won with the Capitals? Like, he was swimming in the fountain.
Amazing.
In downtown Washington.
Ovechkin.
Yeah, like,
that's the best.
He's just swimming in a fountain.
I mean, that was the whole Ovechkin thing. And that, like, lasted days.
Weeks.
Yeah. For weeks. Then he goes back to Russian, too. Yeah, no one will ever top Ovechkin.
Kind of feel like the comedy that would come with Ovechkin would outdo Gronk. Not that Gronk would be, like, a ton of fun, but Ovechkin would be hilarious.
Yeah, like, look, Gronk's funny. But, like, seriously, how many times, like, bro, pass me another beer. You know, like, at some point.
He's sitting up there, you know, twerking on top of the boat. Yeah.
I think Ovechkin, I'd sign up for that. That'd be way better. Ovechkin, you know, Ovechkin could get into some philosophy, too, while he's hammered, you know?
You think so?
Well, interesting guy. Gronk is a lovable, you know, drinking buddy.
How many Super Bowls he got now? Four? This is four for him?
It's got to be.
I think that's three or four.
No, it's got to be four. Because he won the second, you know, three out of 4 years with the Patriots, and then this one.
Yeah. Four. There you go. Pretty good.
I mean, obviously a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But, like, where does he rank? I mean, we talked about, you know, Tony Gonzalez, some of these great tight ends that we've seen. Where does Gronk rank?
Well, I mean, he's not as good as him. He's not as good as Kelce. He's
but his top level.
He's not as good, as Gates. Yeah. He's very good, but I don't know. I don't think he's as good as, like, those three immediately come to mind. Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, and I think now Travis Kelce. I mean, Kelsey's better than Gronk, right? We can agree on that.
I would say so.
I would say Gronk's sheer dominance, that puts him easily in the top five for me.
I mean, Gronk's sheer dominance.
As a tight end.
Just physically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
good. I mean, he's really good.
His second year in the league, 90 catches, 1,300 yards, 17 touchdowns. I mean, he went through a stretch from.
Well, he was their, yeah. I mean, he was their number one weapon.
Yeah.
A little stretch there. He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Now, just imagine if he had the same living, if he lived like Brady, you know? Gronk, if you could just calm it down a little bit.
Maybe that Florida sunshine.
Put
down
some
there.
Cucumbers on your eyes. You know, and go to bed at 7 p.m. What kind of tight end would you be then?
Have a little kale when you wake up in the morning.
Put it in everything. Kale and your, not eggs, but your egg whites.
Yes, the egg whites. An important distinction there. We'll see if Brady can hold it together the rest of the week. That's probably the last time we'll see Brady drink until he's retired.
Well, maybe he'll go on a bender. Every day we'll
have days,
misspelled tweets every day.
Swimming through the fountains of Tampa Bay. When we come back, we'll introduce our topic for today's edition. It's Love Week all week long here on Robbie and Rex Road. Got a great question coming up for you, and we appreciate your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you from through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's being careful out there. The weather, a little bit dicey this morning, a little bit slick on the road, so make sure you're taking your time and being careful on the roadways this morning.
We'll have that I-65 north near Briley is shut down right now because of a tractor-trailer turning over and catching fire.
Yeah.
So be careful out there.
Yeah, be safe out there. Certainly, definitely some slick spots on my way into work this morning, so make sure you're paying attention and going slow out there and being careful. We'll have our grades coming up for the Titans at 7 o'clock. We've been doing it all week long. Today, the line of scrimmage. We'll go through the offensive line and the defensive line as well. So that coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour. We'll be joined by John Hines, Predators head coach at 7:30. Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic at 8 o'clock to talk all things NFL. And then Chris Mason at 9 o'clock, Preds TV analyst, looking ahead to tonight's matchup between the Predators and the Red Wings. So a lot still to come here on the show today. But, Joe, we've gone through Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road, looking ahead to Valentine's Day coming up over the weekend. We've had a lot of fun so far. On Monday, we did the worst first date that you've ever experienced. On Tuesday, the best pickup lines. And you were great at that, by the way. Have you looked up even more pickup lines since Tuesday?
I mean, look, I can keep going if you want.
Can you?
I think I've got in my favorites, scarymommy.com.
There you go. And then yesterday, of course, did the most annoying thing about your significant other. Had some great responses to that. Also, some people that thought maybe Ryan Porth going to be in a little bit of trouble on that segment. Maybe it comes back to haunt you for years to come.
Well, people thought that it might haunt you as well.
Yeah.
Well,
Joe Rexrow took the easy way out.
Well, now
until the end of the show.
You know, I thought about this because honestly, I know I seemed weak yesterday, and I get it. And we had our friend Rick sent us a text about all that. You know, I thought about it more, and at home it's like, honestly, I had a hard time because there's nothing that really does annoy me, because when you live in a house with two teenage boys, your significant other does not annoy you anymore.
Yeah, they're the single source of your annoyance.
Like, we are in a war together of attrition. Oh, we just bought all that lunch meat and it's gone already. Really? Oh, the pizza I put away at midnight last night, that's gone? Oh, the dishes aren't done? Really? Okay. Like, we are united. So the annoyances that we may have had with each other, like, they disappear. So
that makes sense.
I think that's more why, and of course, I was also being careful. I had to be a little bit careful. But.
Just toss that little bit into it.
But it is mostly like you are no longer annoyed with your significant other if you have teenage boys.
That makes sense.
I think that's a universal truth.
That makes a lot of sense to me, so I'm glad you pointed that out. Maybe one day I'll experience that and have some similar thoughts as well.
Love you, boys. They sleep till noon.
Yes. Joe, we vowed today we bring a little bit more positivity to this because, I mean, yesterday you could take it in any direction you want to go. We had a lot of fun with it. But, you know, this is Love Week. We want to experience a little bit more love.
Yeah.
As we get closer to Valentine's Day. So today's question is this. When did you know that your significant other was the one? When did you know your significant other was the one? We'll take your submissions all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And the best answer will win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. So make sure you can take this any direction you want to take it. I'm sure we'll get some funny stories of when they knew their significant other was the one. I'm sure we'll also get some serious, heartfelt stories as well.
I want to wipe a tear or two today.
Yeah. We want to be some real love and emotion shown here on the program. Ryan Porth, would you like to start? Was there a moment when you knew that Dear Amanda was the one for you?
Yes. It was very early in dating.
Okay.
Very early.
The timing on this is also going to be interesting to see how that varies from people.
So this was
drink to the sink?
This was between dates 3 and 4.
When she confirmed she knew where North Dakota was.
Not only that.
You brought the map.
But the Titans were getting ready to play a playoff game against the Chiefs, wild card weekend. And she knew that I'm a big Titans fan. And I knew that she did really enjoy sports. Our second date was a Preds game. And she offered, while we were on the phone talking, she offered to join me at Wild Horse Saloon. That's okay. Where our pregame show was that day for Titans Chiefs. Offered to join me not only for the pregame show, but to stay for the game.
Ooh.
And right then and there, I said, all right, if this woman is offering to come out on her own time and spend the entire day with me, then I'm sold. She's the one. And we're going to sit there at the bar and watch a playoff game. Sold. She's it.
I like it. Very nice.
Nice.
That's Joe, was there a specific moment? It's hard sometimes to identify a specific moment.
Yeah, I know. I wish I had a good single moment. I can say that, you know, we were friends and we started dating, and I absolutely said, I'm not getting married. I'm not having kids. As long as you're cool with that, then we'll date and fine. You know,
Rebel Rex Road early
yeah,
on.
Well, this is a story that she likes to tell people, but I don't have a great moment. Both of us got sick, and kind of took care of each other. She had mono, so maybe she would say that on my side. But you know, I've been asked, including recently, by a younger person about the whole, like, you know, time of life. When are you ready to go from, like, just dating to being serious or whatever? And you know, to me, the answer is it's not, like, you can't think about it that way. Like, okay, now I'm ready to get serious. It's got to be the person makes that happen.
Right.
So she completely, obviously, changed my mind on things. So, I mean, you let the person lead the way.
Exactly.
I'm now giving love advice here, but... but yeah, I don't have
Dr. Rex wrote.
Yeah, no specific moment, but it's basically like, oh, I actually like being around this person all the time.
Yeah.
That's usually a good place to start.
It's usually a good sign. You can stand being around their presence, that's for sure.
By the way, Amanda's listening right now, yeah. So I'm glad she's listening this morning and not yesterday.
Not yesterday. Good timing, Amanda.
So she's not aware of what you said yesterday?
No, she is not.
Oh, well, let's bring that up again since she's listening now.
Amanda, you can go back and listen.
Let's go back to the audio.
Yeah. Go. Spotify.
Hi, Amanda.
You can find it. That's for sure.
We'll find it.
Mine was, mine was not a specific moment either, but it was relatively early on in the dating process with myself and Heather. She got me a trip for Valentine's Day to Miami to go down to see the Heat play, and we spent like 5 days in Miami together. It was pretty early on in our dating, but there wasn't like a specific moment on that trip, but when we got back from the trip, I knew that she was probably going to be it.
Nice. That's a good, that's a real nice gift.
She recognized my love for Dwayne Wade and said, all right, this is the way to his heart. I'll get it.
A love triangle.
And he won.
You, her, and
Dwayne Wade. He won that game, too.
Nice.
Great trip.
Very good, very good.
Also, it's not bad going to Miami in February either. It was like 22 here, and it was 85 in Miami.
Sounds good right about now. Little avocado tequila.
Hang out with Brady. Stumbling around on the beach down there. We'll take your submissions all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When did you know that your significant other was the one? The best answer will win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. So looking forward to that.
Make them good and don't lie. Don't make up some fairy tale. We want real stories.
Yeah, this has got to be some genuine. I don't know how we're going to measure how genuine people are, but and it doesn't have to be all lovey-dovey like Ryan Port just threw out there and myself and you. It can be funny.
See, I've had to watch a lot of romantic comedies over the years.
Yeah.
Not blaming anyone, but I'm attuned to a lot of romantic comedy plots. So if I hear like the plot to Notting Hill or something, like, you know, yeah, you're not going to get it past us.
I mean, we said yesterday, like, the way to win these competitions apparently is, like, make fart jokes.
Yeah,
so,
that's
like,
true.
Today's winner also can't be when they were comfortable farting in front of me, I knew they were the one. Like, that's not going to work today either.
I've heard that from people before.
I know.
That could actually be an answer. So you're saying that, so today there's a no fart policy, that's not going to win?
I'm not saying there's specifically a no fart policy. I'm just saying it may not be the best look for us to grant that as the winner on consecutive days.
Yeah.
Our maturity level's already in question anyway.
Katie mentioned that yesterday. It's like, really? That's the winners? The wall of farts?
Just look at the three of us.
Oh, by the way, real quick, I need to apologize. Who was it who called yesterday? Do you remember the name? And did, like, Barry White?
Steven.
Yeah, Steven. I want to apologize to Steven. And this is also, Katie told me to do this, too. As you can see, I'm a very obedient husband. She's like, why were you so mean to that guy? I'm like, well, I just didn't think he sounded like Barry White. Good call. It just didn't sound like Barry White to me at all.
Judge,
but I didn't have to make a
ripping people's impersonation.
Yeah, I didn't have to make a constipation joke. I'm sorry, Steven. we got a real issue with, like, toilet humor this week.
Yeah, so we've ripped through constipation and fart jokes in about a minute and a half there. Well done. No, I just said ripped in addition to it, so even better. All right, with that in mind,
good
when we
first
come
hour
back, we will get into the Tennessee Titans and our grades. The line of scrimmage coming up, the offensive line and the defensive line, that's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.